Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is October 3rd, 2018. I just can't believe it's October. Merry Christmas, everybody. It's just around the corner, and 2018 will soon be in the past. And good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
Hey, we have Wendy Wilson joining us today of Apothecary Herbs, and she'll be with us the first segment of today's program. So let's get started with the market report. And the market report today, and my computers have just been wacky today. Gold was down $4.20, still holding that 1200 level. Silver was down 4 pennies at $14.74. Platinum was down $1 at $833, and palladium is $1,067, up $7. The USDX today is most likely a little stronger, 95.78 to be correct, 95.78. And let's go ahead and, wow, let's see what I can do here on the, it's like my computer just has a mind of its own. Well, I guess they do, but 95.78 on the USDX, up 0.28. Crude oil was up another $1.10 at 76.33. And the stock markets today, I believe, more records, 26,828 on the Dow, up 54. NASDAQ back up over 8,000, up 25 points, 8,025. And the S&P was up 2 at 2,925. 10-year yield. This is the first time I had a chance to look at that puppy. 3.16. And kind of interesting there.
Here comes the recession, Melody.
3.16. I'm thinking, my read, is that an error or a typo? Wow. European and Asian markets pretty much flat. Fear and greed, the emotion is 48, the number 48. So still hanging around that neutral area, not quite in the fear territory as yet. Maybe not today, but most likely tomorrow. And I do believe that the news is finally going to start making some impacts. Maybe not this week, because you got the jobs report. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But if that job report doesn't come as in as strong as what ADP reported, Katie barred the door. But until then, we have Wendy Wilson joining us today. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Dave.
Hello, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about how you guys can restore your liver within a few weeks. It is doable. So, you know, because our modern lifestyle, you know, has really abused that organ for sure. We have over 500,000 Americans that get a diagnosis that they have a sick liver each year. That's 500,000 people. 30 million Americans right now are living with some sort of liver disease. That means 1 out of 10 people have liver disease, or 10% of the deaths in the United States are due to liver disease. So for every 100,000 people that we have hospitalized with liver disease, about 31,000 of them are going to die. So we should really think of the liver as a sort of shock absorber, and the liver stores a lot of energy for the body, and later it uses it. It also helps the immune system to manufacture what are called gamma globulin, which are blood serum proteins that contain antibodies to help you fight bacteria and viruses or other types of infections. So we live in a world that will stress your liver, and if we're not careful, the liver will begin to fail. So we're going to find out how we can protect and also restore liver function. Anybody out there know of anybody that has liver problems? Got family, friends?
I don't think I do.
All right. Well, no. Good. Let's keep it that way, right?
Yes.
Well, let's find out, you know, what we should be avoiding to minimize our risk of liver damage. So the liver is one of the largest organs of your body. And without a healthy liver, the body will struggle. Often it fails to detox your system. So damage to your liver will cause enlargement of the organ. Also, there could be damages to the blood vessels that can create a lot of scarring. So liver disease usually produces some jaundice, a fatty liver, and maybe even liver tumors. So here's some of the functions that your liver is required to perform and can suffer when it becomes ill. It has to neutralize all the poisons you would come in contact with. Okay, that even includes your prescription meds that you're taking. Also has to help detoxify your system. It also helps to regulate hormones. It also influences the fertility, your sex drives, your prostate gland, and your breast glands. It also helps the pancreas regulate blood sugar and also help regulate fats or cholesterol. Now, the things that are really going to trash your liver in a skinny minute are, of course, your recreational drugs. Also, prescription medications. Some examples would be your contraceptives, your pain anti-inflammatories. So prescribed medicines can promote a lot of drug-induced hepatitis. And if you want a list of the drugs that can damage your liver in that way, there is a list of them on the website called hepcnet.net. Of course, if those of your listeners out there, Melody, that are on the newsletter, they would actually get a hot link in the newsletter for that.
Terrific.
Yep. So other things that will really trash the liver are excessive alcohol, white refined sugar, a lot of that, fatty foods, as well as excessive hormone rush, adrenaline rush. So the adrenaline junkies can wear out this organ as well. And also aerosol sprays, not a big friend to your liver. You hear that?
That's the first time I've heard that.
Right. Well, here is a quote from Ananish Kalsortra. He's a biochemist. He's a professor at the University of Illinois. He says, your human liver can become chronically damaged by toxins like alcohol and medications, but it still continues to function, attempting to repair itself. So millions of people are prescribed heart medicines and antibiotics, and these two groups of drugs can risk your liver to what is called a deadly form of hepatitis, especially if you're on repeat courses of these types of drugs or if you're on them for life. Here is a quote from Dr. Richard Strongham. He's a molecule biologist, University of California. He says, toxic hits from smoking, alcohol, will traumatize the liver, cause genetic instability in its cells, causing inflammation. Therefore, not all hepatitis is viral. Did you catch that? You can have a diagnosis of hepatitis has nothing to do with the virus. Also, Dr. Joseph Mercola says this about hepatitis. He says, no one has ever been able to document, according to basic long-held scientific standards of virology, that substance which is proposed to be infectious hepatitis C virus. He says there's no such animal. Isn't that interesting?
Very.
Well, let's take note. Often we forget, you know, medicinal herbs can be potent, and some are not intended to be used long-term, but sparingly for a short burst. So you don't want to risk your liver even when you're taking some very strong herbs. So you want to do it the right way. You want to be smart. You don't want to stress that liver. So you want to educate yourself even on some of the herbs out there that you may be using. You want to use them for short-term. So this is the list. You want to use Cascara Sagrada, not all the time. Also, chaparral, comfrey root, kava, mistletoe, gerrymander, ephedra, and shark cartilage. You never want to use them long term. So, you know, a short burst of maybe a few days to a few weeks is what you would do. Okay? Mm-hmm. Anyway, there also are on our list of things that will trash the liver are vaccines, scientifically proven vaccines. There's lots of vaccines out there, but science has documented a few vaccines that cause liver disease, and the influenza vaccine and the hepatitis B vaccine are the culprits. Okay? So if anybody wants to research that online, it's there. Here is a quote from Dr. Stefan Kallring and Dr. Joan Walowski. They said, there's a lot of fraud in vaccine testing, and it encapsulates how medical research can manipulate to achieve desired results when it is wise to question the integrity and validity of a lot of science-based medications. So there's a couple of scientists that says, you know, don't believe everything you read on vaccines. So always dig and do your homework. But there is some new research I want to talk about real quick. Since we know the liver's designed to regenerate, it has to have the right nutrition to do that. Now, in September of 2018, just last month, University of Illinois, they discovered that when your liver is attempting to heal itself, it has a process of cell repair. They say, according to the biochemist in the report, they said there's chemical signals to the liver, and it returns your liver cell, almost resets your liver cells to what is called postnatal restoration. So apparently, science is saying that these restorative liver cells can lie in dormant and won't activate unless and won't have the cell division to restore unless the liver starts to experience damage. So it's kind of like a safety net, really, for that, you know, apparently God built into your liver.
So if you have liver damage,
yeah,
is it 100% reversal? Can you actually reverse the damage, or is part of it dead, but you can make the rest of the liver healthier?
Well, according to this research, you'll find it in the Nature Structural and Molecule Biology Journal. They're saying the liver is a resilient organ, and it can be restored up to 70% of lost mass and function after just a few weeks. But you have to stop doing what's damaging the organ as well. I've said off radio that, you know, if we were living in the time of Adam and Eve, our liver would regenerate so quickly we'd have a new one every 30 days. But we got so much toxicity hitting it now that, you know, you have to really kind of baby it with some TLC, give it a chance to, you know, catch up with its restorative cell, but you may not get 100% back, okay, because we got such a toxic environment now.
Mm-hmm.
So now that what they did in their research, they used the biochemist tested the theory with mice. And what they did is they severely damaged the livers of the mice with a bunch of toxins. And then, And then they took the injured liver cells and they put them through what they called cell reprogramming, so that the that mechanism, that neonatal cell mechanism, would kick on. It's kind of a gene expression. So your mice have the same thing, actually. So apparently the liver tissue, when that happens, attempts to regenerate, and it expresses different proteins, different RNA. Things get rearranged and refiled chemically in the metabolism, on a metabolic level. So an analogy would be if you got a hole in your sock and then you stitched it back together, that's what the liver is attempting to do. So whenever you stress the liver, or it starts to get scar tissue or anything like that, or you death of tissue, that's what it attempts to do. So now, go ahead.
What are the symptoms? And you might be getting to that here in a little bit, but what are the symptoms of a unhealthy?
Yeah, it's a question,
liver.
Melody. Absolutely. Jaundice is one. You know, mm-hmm. You get that yellowing. Sometimes you get abdomen pain. Sometimes you feel lethargic. Sometimes, you know, you just, since the liver's wearing a lot of hats, like I mentioned, it has to regulate, you know, not only hormones and cholesterol, but blood sugars, then you get some of those areas out of whack, and that creates another cascade of symptoms. That, you know, because we don't realize how important hormone balance is in the system. For instance, your brain uses hormones for neurotransmitters to help regulate your sleep and other things. So without balance, we get problems elsewhere. So when the liver starts dropping some of these jobs because it's limping along, you're going to get diagnosis of not only liver disease, but you're also going to get, you know, maybe a diagnosis of diabetes on top of it.
So people that are diagnosed with diabetes, do doctors ever look to see if their liver is the cause of it, unless you ask?
Right, unless you ask. The most the doctors do, when they do blood work, they may do a liver profile.
Yeah.
And if they see enzymes out of whack, it may kind of raise a red flag. But if they're not looking for it, yeah, they're not going to know. But, you know, these proteins that initiate the repair mechanism tend to be varied, but they are telling us they're generated from one single gene. So each of these proteins will have a different function and property. So it would appear that a normal liver regenerative function works similar to gene editing. So they use proteins, it uses the proteins it wants, and then splices cells together to make the repair happen. And according to the scientists, they're calling this HIPPO signaling pathway. Interesting. But
We are a complex species, aren't we?
And it's all interconnected, too. And we got so much of the medicine is isolated into specialties. And unlike, let's say, Asian medicine, they look at the whole big picture usually. But, you know, let's talk about things that will support your liver. You want to make sure you're getting lots of antioxidants. One of the herbs that has a lot of that is milk thistle. It helps the liver taps into the antioxidants to speed up their regenerative cell repair. It also takes a lot of the metabolic stress off the organ itself. So milk thistle's been used for hundreds of years. They've used it for things like fatty liver, inflamed liver, jaundice, cirrhosis of the liver, hepatitis. So it's one of those herbs you can't go wrong with, really, if you're looking to help your liver out. Also, it has a lot of mineral support and other nutrients. One of the other herbs that's great for the liver is chlorella because of all of its nutritional properties. Lots of minerals, once again. And it also helps purge toxins. So if the liver is not purging toxins out of the system like it should, this is really helpful. So if you're having to deal with things like liver cancer, well then, you know, if it were me, I would add the dandelion root, which Windsor Medical University in Quebec, Canada in 2012 published research that dandelion helps cancer cells, all known cancer cells, commit suicide. So I'm like, I would add the dandelion root, and then if you want to magnify the dandelion root to kind of cut to the chase, add astragalus root. It just helps it work better.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got a lot of tools there that you can use. Of course, you want to just watch the lifestyle, watch the sugar, the alcohol, the fatty foods, and common sense, regular exercise, drink water, and watch that alcohol intake.
Well, that's the one thing that few people have is common sense.
Well, I know. I know. I absolutely understand. But, you know, if you get those antioxidants like silymarin going, the liver will reward you with, I'm feeling better.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have about 30 seconds left. Would you like to give us some contact information, Wendy?
Absolutely. If you want to check out the milk thistle, and they have a lot of the chlorella, they have all those antioxidant herbs and options in case you don't want to do prescriptions, check out Apothecary Herbs. They are having their fall sale, so you'll save 15% plus free ground ship in the United States through the 6th. It's this Saturday on orders of $50 or more. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. You guys
Thank
have
you,
a great day.
You too. We'll talk to you next week. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back right after these few short messages.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. After saying it for 25 years, I almost gave out the wrong number. But, geez, Luigi. You know, everyone is all focused on what's going on, of course, with Kavanaugh, and of course, you know, with this new article by the New York Times on President Trump and so forth. And there's a lot of other things that are going out today. And number one, I did get the alert, and there was the presidential text message alert. And yes, it did come in around 2:18 this afternoon. Dave, and my phone sounded the alarm, and I didn't read what it said because I was on the telephone, but it was supposed to have read presidential alert. And of course, this was a joint test by FEMA and the FCC, and they were supposed to do this earlier, well, or late last month. They were supposed to do it in September, but they changed the date, and they blamed Hurricane Florence on that. And is everyone supposed to do that, or just if you're signed up to receive an alert, Dave?
Oh, no, I believe everybody.
Everybody, whether you're signed up to receive alerts or not?
I believe so.
So these presidential warnings, I mean, we do have the wireless messages, you know, that we received, the warnings about bad weather, flooding, and things like that. Even an Amber Alert, I've received those if the child goes missing.
Those you have to sign up for.
Those you have to sign up for?
Yeah, but the presidential alert is different.
Okay, all right. So, great.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, today's text didn't come from the prez himself, but In the future it could, if there's a certain type of national emergency. You know, it sounds just like the alerts that you get for severe weather, you know, that loud, piercing beep. And FEMA says that you can't opt out of it. The testing period lasted for about a half an hour. You know, another test through the emergency alert system sent a similar message to, you know, TV, radio, cable, satellite providers. That lasted about a minute, as it usually does. It's election season, Melody. It's time to expect getting those dreadful robocalls. You know, let's hope our leaders stick to real emergency when it comes to these presidential texts.
You know, it is always disturbing. I did hear the one, because I have the financial news programs on the TV, and I did hear that television emergency also go off after my phone went off. And there's just something about it that it just, it always annoys me, and it always, it does something to you when you hear it. And I don't know.
Well, I think it should. It's probably serving its purpose. I mean, it's meant.
Well, they should have a different sound for just the tests, so we know it's a test. You know, now I hear it, and I think, oh, it's just a test. What am I going to do when, you know?
It'll say, this is not a test.
If you have the volumes up. But job growth in September. Of course, it's hit the highest level in 7 months as our economy is showing more and more strength. ADP came out and said today that there were 230,000 positions added for September. This is the best level since the 241,000 jobs were added in February, and certainly far ahead of August's numbers of 168,000. And most economists were just expecting 185,000. Construction grew, of course, 34,000. And, you know, something that, because construction grew by so much, temperatures have been warm everywhere. Although there's been a lot of rain in a lot of areas, but you can still do construction inside. So I wonder if that had anything to do with the construction growing by 34,000 as the temperatures across the country have been much warmer than usual.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But, you know, Mark Zandi, who's chief economist at Moody's Analytics, who with ADP produces these monthly jobs, said this labor market is rip-roaring hot. He added that the risk that this economy overheats is very high, and this is one more piece of evidence of that. So if the current pace continues, Zandi said he expects the unemployment rate to fall near 3%. Over the next year. That's the government reported unemployment rate. The headline rate, as we'll call it, is currently at 3.9%. And again, that excludes the the people who are discouraged and have decided not to look or can't find work anymore. The newest payroll count comes a couple days ahead of the Labor Department's closely watched non-farm payroll reports. And economists expect that report to show job growth of 185,000. Now, the jump came despite disruption caused by Florence, which Melody alluded to, which ravaged the Carolinas and was expected to dent the jobs count.
Well, you know, also we have seasonal jobs in there too. I mean, we've heard, you know, what UPS hire 100,000 here. So there's a lot of seasonal positions being added on. Of course, Amazon and Target. We've talked about Target adding on for seasonal help. So it's really difficult to gauge what the real new jobs added at this point in time. So some of the job gains across the industries of service, they led with about 184,000. Professional and business services contributed about 70,000. Education and health services about 44,000. I always like to see the government numbers, but I don't see where they actually listed government numbers. You know, how many?
I think the ADP numbers might just be private sector.
Just the private sector.
Private sector, okay. Non-farm payrolls.
All right.
So. Yeah, that service industry expansion, that's the fastest pace on record, according to the Institute for Supply Management. It's the highest level, in fact, since the index was created in, 10 years ago, 2008. There you have it.
I mentioned the treasuries when we were doing the market report in the beginning. The yield in the 10-year treasury hit its highest level since July of 2011. The yield on the 30-year treasury bond hit its highest level since October 2014. And, of course, this is after the release of strong economic data. The 30-year treasury bond rose 7 basis points to 3.282%, that highest since 2014 of October. And I read in the aftermarket continuing, but this one, it was earlier this morning, was 3.125% on the 10-year. The 10-year rate is especially important given its role in helping setting rates for a whole range of businesses and consumer loans, and that also includes home mortgages. The rate on the 2-year note hit 2.85%, its highest point since June 2008, and we know that bond yields move inversely to prices.
Yeah, and the 5-year note, by the way, which falls under the radar more often than the 2, 10, and 30, and of course the 90, the real short-term ones, but that's over 3%. So the rates continue to move up. The yield curve between the short and long term bonds continues to narrow. As we tell you, that's one that we pay very close attention to, because as we've told you numerous times, and as most listeners already know, you know, an inverted yield curve have successfully predicted, the last seven recessions. So we see no reason why that shouldn't be the same going forward, although there are some analysts, Wall Street analysts in particular, Melody, who are saying, well, you know, past is not prologue, this time's going to be different. Now, John Hill, who's a strategist at BMO Capital Markets, he said, you know, what you're seeing is the front end of the curve coming up as the probability of the Fed continuing their rate hike cycle rises. Hill said, however, that the current economic optimism may only be temporary, and he believes is tied to the one-time stimulus provided by last December's tax cuts.
And where have I heard that before?
Yeah, indeed. often. Yeah, investors, too, around the whole globe, they're monitoring recent trade developments, especially after Canada agreed to a new trade deal with the U.S. and Mexico on Sunday. You know, while that agreement, which we're calling UMSCA, that's lifted market sentiment in the short term, you know, investors still remain on edge over the ongoing trade issues between the U.S. and China.
Well, you know, speaking of treasuries, I don't have the complete article here, but I saw a headline that China is going to raise billions of dollars in a rare U.S. debt deal as these trade, as these trade tensions persist. They're looking to do a $3 billion bond sale, and it would be China's second in a year, but only its third since 2004. So they've done three, with two of them in this year.
You mean dumping of U.S. treasuries?
That's what it's, yep.
Yeah, wow.
And so it's, I don't know if this is a tit for tat to show what they can do, but I think the timing was kind of interesting. And again, this is the second one that they've done. So
that is interesting. That most people call that the nuclear option.
Yeah.
That China, the largest holder of U.S. debt held by the public. Boy, that could have an incredible. I mean, if they were to unload a big chunk, now there are others who say that it would be self-defeating for China to do that. But you know, if they want to wreak havoc with particularly U.S. markets, that's one way to do it. Especially if they think they can weather, the temporary storm that they'd feel by doing that.
Well, they're certainly playing with fire, because once something takes off, they might not be able to pull back to the point where they could stop whatever it starts.
You're right.
So that's the danger in that. And they might think you're right, that they could handle it. Let's see what we can do. Let's bring some attention to this and so forth. Well, I don't think anybody's paying attention to anything except government. They're certainly not going to tell us. But, you know, we talked earlier this week, that the two-year auction a week or so ago, very weak. And you see these yields rise, and that's telling me there's also, they can say it's a strong economy and everything, but it also, those rates have to rise in order to get buyers too. So
that's right.
So deductibles and employer health plans, they're up 4.5%. You don't hear too many people talk about health care anymore. Getting a little bit closer to the election, so the price of health care is beginning to come out a little bit. So even though we might have wages that might be edging a little bit higher for folks out there, health costs are still growing a whole lot faster. 2019 open enrollment season begins. Most workers who have employer health plans will see moderate increases in premiums and deductibles. Matthew Ray, he's a co-senior researcher at the Kaiser Family Foundation, said deductibles went up again this year. And what we've seen with worker contributions is in line with the trend we've seen the past couple of years. The average deductible for a worker in an employee health care plan this year is $1,573, and that's up 4.5%. And I hear from customers, too. I hear from a lot of people. Yeah, I'm trying to find some health care. I went to the doctor, and I had this test done. The next thing I knew, I'm getting a bill for $800. It's like there's no coverage. Nothing is covered. You know, I'm paying, you know, my co-pays when I go. That's costing $25-$50 a shot. You know, and then all of a sudden, I go get a little test done, and they don't tell you that it's going to cost you. And when we have a country where people can't afford any surprises, if they only have $1,000 saved, that wipes out their savings. So, Dave, it's... you know, health care, you know, I hate to say it, is going to be the death to a lot of people.
Yeah. You know, we see the longer term trend is telling, you know, a bigger story of why even small increases may, you know, are making workers feel like they're losing the battle on out of pocket health costs. You know, while deductibles have more than doubled over the last 10 years, wages have only risen, you know, 26% over that same period on average. You know, employers are very conscious of that and, you know, seem to realize that, you know, they're at the end of their limits of cost sharing, particularly in the realm of deductibles. So reportedly, they're looking at other changes. You know, more large companies are trying to rein in overall costs by rewarding workers who take steps to get healthier. In the next segment, we'll be talking about, healthcare plan that's been suggested by a couple of real big companies, Amazon and Berkshire Hathaway and JP Morgan Chase. But, you know, according to the Kaiser survey, nearly 40%, that's 4 in 10, 2 in 5 large employers provided cash incentives of up to $500 this year for their employees who completed health screening and health risk assessment programs.
Yeah, and that's going to go even further and further. You know, if you're 20 pounds overweight, you better lose some weight or, you know, you're not going to, your deductible all of a sudden goes higher. If you don't do this, if you smoke, you know, whatever little health issue you might have, or if you don't follow the certain rules in order to qualify to get the insurance, you're going to be out on your own. That's the only thing that employers are will able to do. They're going to try and coax their workers to make their health care dollars go further. And we're going to go a little bit further right into our break. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. day, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Financial Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We were talking on the break. We're talking about the cost and, you know, how the care. And my neighbor, she broke her wrist on Friday evening, and her husband was, you know, in California. So I took her to the emergency room. They don't even have doctors in there, I was telling Dave. They have it was a nurse practitioner. And he wasn't even there were other people walking around doing most of the work. I don't even know what their titles were. The one guy that was walking around and giving information and directions on how she should take her medication and stuff, he was the guy that checked us in. And this was a Friday evening, I was telling Dave.
Guess that must have been a long weekend for the docs on call.
And the nurse practitioner, he couldn't do anything to her arm. He looked at it. Yeah, you have a broken wrist. I guess we're going to have to call in the orthopedic doctor. It just blew my mind. I had no idea. Nurse practitioner. So you want to stay away from that hospital.
Welcome to healthcare in the new millennium, right?
Absolutely.
Let's hope that's an exception.
I mean, if you had a heart attack and they took you to that hospital, you have a nurse practitioner there? Scary. And I guess that's why not too many people visit this hospital here in Ocean City, because but anyway, very interesting. And we'll have to see. I'll share with you listeners when I get my letter from my insurance carrier what my increase is going to be this year. Mortgage fraud on the rise. Tell me it isn't so. Really, Dave?
It's true, apparently.
We've been hearing more and more how high home values are. The housing market is competitive. We hear about more buyers want to get in. What we haven't heard, at least until now, an increasing number of buyers are lying and cheating. No, can't be. Mortgage fraud risk jumped more than 12% year over year at the end of the second quarter. And this was according to CoreLogic. That's the company that measures six fraud indicators: identity, income, occupancy, property, transaction, and undisclosed real estate debt. One in every 109 mortgage applications is estimated to have indications of fraud. Bridget Berg of CoreLogic said that undisclosed real estate liabilities, credit repair, questionable down payment sources, and income falsifications are the most likely misrepresentations.
Yeah, I'm not downplaying fraudulent actions. I'm just surprised that it's not more than that. I mean, that actually, you know, comes out to less than 1%, right? But I guess, you know, certainly if you're the bank and we're talking about millions of applications a year, I guess, you know, it adds up. And it certainly, I would think that it affects the rest of us, to some extent, that who do it honestly. Yeah, that's an aside. I mean, loan applications for real estate purchases, according to CoreLogic, are more likely to have fraud than for refinancings. And, you know, that may be part of the reason for the increase in overall fraud risk. You know, because of higher interest rates, makes sense, refinancing activity has slowed. So the share of purchase applications is higher, at least right now. The biggest jump in mortgage fraud risk was due to income reporting, up 22% from last year. You know, since the epic housing crash a decade ago, lenders have had very strict limits on the amount of debt a borrower can have compared to his or her income. And especially the bigger banks have been sticking to it, or at least had been sticking to it. So some borrowers are juicing their incomes in order to qualify. How? Well, no surprise, the internet's making it a lot easier. You know, casual search will result in any number of online services, which was a surprise to me, Melody, that will not only generate fake pay stubs, but will also answer phone calls and confirm income verbally, you know, all for a fee that, you know,
Are you kidding me? The
person who's paying a mortgage, you know, that's applying for a mortgage, pays them. You know, and, you know, like as I said, this has wide-ranging consequences for banks, investors, and even taxpayers. You know, mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, you know, which are under government control, you know, either own or scrutinize or securitize the vast majority of new mortgages today. Yeah, that's pretty that's pretty amazing.
But you know what, though? I mean, mortgage companies, I mean, you know, the fake pay stubs, I mean, you still need to have your tax returns.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But you, I mean, but that would be, sure. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to generate your tax returns, but, I mean, you have all
make,
those,
you
can
make
your
them
own.
Up too. Yeah,
yeah, you can make them up and have the fake stubs, you know, match that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. You know, unless the bank is requiring the official IRS transcript, you know, especially if you do your own taxes, you just go in, modify last year's numbers on TurboTax or, you know, H&R Block, whatever software you use, and
yeah.
Voila.
Voila.
See, I told you.
But you know what? I shouldn't say this, but you know what? You know, hey.
Oh, go ahead.
I'll probably get in trouble, you know, and I don't encourage anyone to do this. I'm not telling you to do this. But you know what? These bankers and government bureaucracies, they're all so corrupt anyway. So you know what? If a few people need to get their home mortgages that way.
There you go.
There you go. I mean, you know, they got to pay the piper someday. So, but wow, I did not know that you could go online and do that.
Yeah, on we learn something new every day, don't we?
You can find it on the internet.
And on Discount Gold and Silver, Financial Survival Radio Show.
On a related note, you have mortgage fraud tips that are on the rise, and this is according to the great Fannie Mae from law enforcement, consumers, trade groups, and lender partners who sell loans to Fannie and are required to self-report. So mortgage fraud tips are on the rise. At
what's that saying? Be careful who you tell.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But you have...
Dave's out of a job. How's he applying? And he just said he's applied for $150,000 line of credit.
Rockville, Maryland. There's a senior mortgage banker, Matt Lieberman, said he sees the biggest increase in occupancy fraud. This is likely due to the recent surge in rental investment and house flipping. Most people want to say they'll live in the property because their terms will be better if they're running out than if they're running out the property.
Yeah.
So fraudulent applications can certainly hurt businesses and because in the end they're responsible for the loans that they originate. The areas with the highest rate of fraud risks, New York, New Jersey, Florida, D.C., New Mexico, California, you know, but they have some of the priciest housing markets too. So,
yeah. Well,
the biggest populations also.
You said it right just a few minutes ago. I mean, you know, if you're struggling to make ends meet, and you know, you got whatever, you got a home repair, you're just, you know, you think you're just below the qualifying limit for an addition to house your sick mother-in-law or whatever. These big banks, I mean, they were the scourge of the earth just 10 years ago with these subprime loans, and they complain about the tight margins in the mortgage industry right now, with employees at lenders driven to score commissions. It potentially raises the incentives to cut corners to put the loans through pipelines. Well, yeah, that's what happened 10 years ago, and we read that it's been happening for the past year more and more. The problem isn't nowhere where it was at the height of the housing bubble, and the subprime market's still nowhere near as large. But it seems like we're just hitting that slippery slope, Melody, that once again tells us we haven't necessarily learned the lessons of the last financial crisis.
Nope, and that's why we hear day in and day out of huge billionaire financial hedge fund guys saying that it's going to be about the debt because no lessons were learned. We're throwing more money, more debt, just like yesterday, our fiscal debt, again, is, over $1 trillion, 1.2, I believe it was, if I recall correctly, and it just is going to continue to climb. So everybody knows it's going to bust. And, the only way that you can really protect yourself is with gold and silver. And if you think that you can ride this little wave to the levels that we are, it's just a matter of time until it breaks. And all it needs is one little thing to knock that first domino over. And
protect yourself and your families, folks. 1-800-375-4188 or dgscoins.com. Do we still have that silver special going on, by the way?
Yeah, we can do that. 90% silver, $25 face value, a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. It includes your shipping costs, and it's still $425. Even though we've seen prices rise in gold and silver, we're keeping it the same. There's still a little bit of wiggle room. That's a little bit less out of my pocket, but if I can provide it for you, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. $425. It's a great little package. You get your gold and your silver. There was a couple of things we were going to talk about, but I just can't believe this, but it kind of gives us an idea of what we have to look for and who's going to be there in the future. And it's really quite scary if I kind of got the gist of this week's Brevity is Golding the New Establishment.
Let me say,
as I was reading this, it really is scary. It really is scary. Now, I don't know if it was meant to be scary, but
I don't think it was.
Well,
I think
it's
just the facts in and of themselves
is scary.
Paint a scary picture.
I know it. Share it with the listeners.
Vanity Fair released its new 2018 new establishment list. And in the words of their editor-in-chief, she says, the list attempts to reconcile what she calls the revolutionary fluctuations in the zeitgeist and contextualize them in a firmament, if only for a fleeting moment. She writes, "Dear reader, we are living in extraordinary times. Media giants are merging. Our technology megaliths have faltered. Virtually every element of human life is being reconsidered and artificially mimicked. And we've even become obsessed with adult scooting. All while the Dow Jones continues to float at an unprecedented level. Meanwhile, the Russian investigation remains ongoing. Our culture is undergoing an overdue reckoning." And then she asks, "Are we at the end of one age or the beginning of the next?" Well,
this is where it becomes frightening.
bizarro,
Bizarro.
If you don't participate in social media, I mean, a lot of this might just, this might be like a totally different language for you. But, then in Vanity Fair's top 100 members of the new establishment. You know, starting at 100 is Kylie Jenner, daughter of Bruce Jenner, who now at age 21 is worth $900 million.
Can you believe that?
Thanks to her 100% ownership stake in her makeup line, Kylie Cosmetics. Unbelievable. Number 99, who just made the list a few weeks ago, is the aggrieved Trump White House official who was the anonymous author of that now infamous New York Times op-ed, which, by the way, garnered over 15 million views.
Which one are you referencing?
Oh, the one who said, I'm a part of a group in the administration.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
here
okay.
To protect
All
you,
right.
blah, blah,
All
blah,
right.
blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
That mess.
Okay.
Let's just go through the top 10 because we're close to out of time. Maya Yoshi Son, who's founder of Japanese giant SoftBank. Number 9, AT&T CEO Randall Stephenson, no surprise. Number 8, Beyonce Museum. That's like, yeah, all right, that's interesting. 7, Mark Zuckerberg, young billionaire. Number 6, Michelle Obama, who's now selling out stadiums a la Joel Osteen and Mick Jagger.
Unbelievable.
5, Tim Cook, Apple CEO. 4, Disney CEO Bob Iger. 3, Reed Hastings, a lesser-known guy who's CEO of Netflix. Number 2, Jeff Bezos, who happened to lose his number 1 ranking to none other than that low-key special counsel, Robert Mueller. And that melody is this week's Brevity is Perfect.
I'm sure glad we're out of time, because I have a lot to say on that list. Still there, ladies and gentlemen, until then, say goodnight and God bless.
Bye-bye.